Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today. We are looking over the past couple weeks and for the next few weeks at Jesus Christ and the different roles of who he is and who he can be for you. So we're going to look at Jesus Christ as God today. Why don't we bow our heads and pray? God, I thank you that you came for us and that you are God, and everyone will give an account to you. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord one day. It'll be clear. And right now it is not clear to everyone. It's obscure in some ways. I pray that you help us to see you clearly. Amen.
Well, good morning. Mark's voice is officially shot. He's either sick or cheered on the Cubs too much last night. One or the other. A little bit of both. So why don't we stand up, greet each other around you, say, may the Lord be with you. Go Cubs go, whatever you feel like saying. And just greet everybody around you for just a minute before we start.
Go Cubs go.
Mark is just in a perpetual state of crying. All right. That's enough greeting. Have a seat. It's always good to greet each other, isn't it? Absolutely. Well, we have a bunch of things coming up if you have your bulletin, but the prominent thing that we want to talk about is that we are having a baptismal time, and right now it's tentatively scheduled for Sunday, November 6th at 1:30 p.m. at the West Chicago High School pool here. So what we're planning on doing is that Sunday after church, having a light luncheon after church all together as a church family, and then anybody that's getting baptized, and we'll kind of walk over to the school pool and do baptisms there, and then people can go. So November 6th is our planned baptism time. So if you're interested in getting baptized, we started this because one or two are, and so that's why we set this up. But we usually do this periodically, and anyone that has not been baptized, this is an opportunity for you on November 6th. So please come and tell me or Greg or Dean if you're interested, and we'll talk to you about getting that set up for November 6th. And it should be a fun time of fellowship as well. Also, we don't really have someone spearheading the little light luncheon beforehand, so if you're interested in helping out with that, see me or Dean or Greg, and we'll figure out who's going to organize that, just so we have a little bit of food and fellowship on that day. So November 6th, baptisms. The other thing is we have Christmas coming up again in a couple months. And if you don't know, Christmas Day is a Sunday this year. It falls on Sunday. So Christmas Eve is that Saturday night. And we were just kind of curious. You know, we are a pretty small church, so we kind of want to know, well, who's going to be around that weekend, so we can kind of plan accordingly service or services that we're going to do. So what we're asking is that all of you, if you could let your Breaking of Bread leaders know whether you're going to be in town Christmas weekend and whether you would like to come to a Christmas Eve, Christmas Day service. Maybe you can go to Christmas Eve service, but a Christmas Day you're going to family or something like that. We just need to know who's going to be around so we can plan accordingly for that weekend. So please let us know over the next week or two so we can plan that out. So baptisms, Christmas service, a couple fundraisers, fundraiser that's going on for Awana soon, and you'll get a little more detail, like a flyer, I guess, right, pretty soon, is November 3rd, Boston Market on the corner of Roosevelt and County Farm. We have a fundraiser going there where if you go that night and get dinner for your family, a portion of those proceeds will go to Awana Ministry, Outreach Ministry. And the Lord's been doing a lot of things. We have a lot of new neighborhood kids, about 15 neighborhood kids that came last Wednesday night. And so this is an opportunity to raise some money for Awana. So that's November 3rd. There'll be more on that. What day is that? That's a Thursday night. So you can, if you like chicken, you like Boston Market, put that on your calendar, that's the day to go to splurge for your family, get some chicken, and some of the proceeds will go to Awana. Also, we do have this month our annual children's clothes collection for Nicaragua. Even though we are not going to Nicaragua this next summer, we do this every fall because of the fact that parents, their clothes change cycles, and that's the time when you're going to give away old clothes that don't fit anymore. So put those in the blue box either on Sunday mornings or at Awana on Wednesday nights. Other than that, so remember, baptisms, November 6th. If you're interested, let us know. Christmas services, let us know if you're going to be in town. And then there'll be more on the Boston Market coming up for November 3rd. All right, this is the time we take our normal offering, and Sunday school kids and leaders, after you give offering, you can leave to Sunday school. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming here today. Glad you could make it. We have been looking at the different roles that Jesus Christ can have in your life, the different roles over the past several weeks. And this week, I'm looking at Jesus Christ as God. Next week, Mike is looking at Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm a little jealous of Mike's topic because that's where God suddenly becomes personal. If you've ever been saved from something, they saved you as a person. And so our hope is that as we go through these things, as we look at these different things, you can think about this for you. Do I relate to Jesus Christ and to God in this way? And Jesus actually asked his disciples some of these questions. He asked the disciples this. This is out of Matthew. And he went to the disciples and said, who do the people say the Son of Man is? That was a term he gave to himself, the Son of Man. And they said, well, some say Elijah, some say a prophet. And then he asked them, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that's what we're looking at, is who is Jesus Christ? And you've probably seen this graphic, and I like this because it's, you see some of the picture, but some of it's fuzzy, some of it's obscure. In the spiritual world, we don't see. We see tangible things. We see buildings and lights and glass and structures and people because they're physical. But these are things we don't see, but they are real. And so we're hoping that this becomes clearer for me and for you, and we represent God and the fact that He's real, and we bring that information to the world around us. So why don't we pray, and we're going to look at encountering Jesus Christ as God today. Why don't we pray and ask God to help us. God, thank you. That we have encountered you, that you have come, and there are people who lived before us who encountered you, and they spoke of you, and they lived a life that was different, and we saw that, all of us in our own way. We saw they have something, and what they had was you, who they knew was you. And I pray that you help me to communicate well and represent you well, help all of us learn about you today. Amen. So, I want to look at different things in encountering Jesus Christ as God. How can you see that Jesus Christ is God? And I came up with three things. There's things that he said. There's things that Jesus Christ said that showed that he was God. One of them, it's kind of an obscure one that you might probably read and go by, but he said in Luke 10:18, he said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." No, it's an average statement, but there's things that he said. Okay, who can say that? Where were you standing to see that? To see that, you have to be in heaven, right? Who can say that? You can't say, I can't say that. You had to be there. If we're going to take that at face value, if that's true, there's things he said that showed that he was God. There's times when he said that he was God. Very directly. He said, "I am God. I am God." And it was clear in the New Testament that that's what was happening. And there are times, and we're going to look at each one of these a little bit today, and there are times he did something that only God could do. He performed a miracle. A miracle is something that is outside of the normal physical laws of how nature and the earth works, and people, and Jesus Christ did that in a unique way that no one else could have done to reveal that he was God. And we're going to look at some of those. So something I did along the way is I thought, you know, I'm going to look at one of the Gospels. And I looked at the Gospel of Matthew. And you know how your Bible has the little header sections where there's a couple verses and it says the birth of Jesus. And there's several verses about the birth of Jesus. And then it'll say John the Baptist and this. And it'll say an angel comes to Joseph. And then so it has these little header sections, and I thought, well, I'll go through, and I'll just list all of those out, and we'll see how Jesus spent his time in the gospel. And I go, well, how hard could that be? How long could it take? Take 15 minutes, and I am eternally optimistic on all the things I do, and it took hours for me to categorize these things. So, and I'm not exact, so this may not be exactly, please don't count this and say. So I came up with 118 segments in your Bible. He taught about effective prayer, the golden rule, the narrow gate, all these things. And so those segments, I came up with about 118, 120 in the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew is 28 chapters. And what I wanted to look at, well, The Gospels are a record of the life of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to see, well, how did Jesus spend his time in general? Jesus spent a lot of time, most of his time, if in the Gospel of Matthew, teaching. Most of it. This is the highest category, almost half. 56, about 50, 45, 50% of his time teaching people about the kingdom of God. Most of his time is spent teaching. Why? Obviously, it's important for the world. It was important for us. It was important for all generations to understand how the kingdom of God works. Without that, there'd be huge gaps. There was huge misunderstandings in his day when he was speaking to clarify, to bring clarity. How does the kingdom of God... And Jesus did that. The next category I came up with, these are my categories. This is no other internet survey. This is me. Documentations of his life. So, to me, there's just historical record. Jesus was born. The ancestry and lineage of his family line. He was taken prisoner, right? These are just facts. They're just the occurrences. Jesus went out in a boat. The disciples went to buy bread, right? They're recorded, these things. But they're not teaching. They're not miracles. But they're part of the Gospels. 36% 43 times of these segments, they're just things that happen in documentation of the progression of his life. And one of the things I was after, because I think the miracles that Jesus did are very unique. So his ministry starts in Matthew chapter 5, and there are several chapters. In Matthew chapter 8, he starts first record of healing someone after the Beatitudes, after teaching. This is just the Gospel of Matthew, about 20 segments, about 15% of the time of the Gospel narrative is about Jesus doing a unique miracle in healing someone. One other category that I broke out is, when did he claim to be God? When did he say that, I am God? And we're going to look at a few of these. And there aren't as many in the Gospel of Matthew. This is the one I started to take apart, and I decided I didn't have time to do it again to the other Gospels. He did this twice. Now, there are times I was looking for the very direct inferences. You might say there's five or six, like, for example, when Jesus says to Peter, he says, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. How did he know that? Because he's God. He has unique knowledge. But he didn't say, hey, I am God there. So I was looking for the very direct quotes. Some people would say there's more than that. But so I was picking the... So this is how he spent his time as God. When God came to earth, what did he do? So we're going to look at some of these, and we're going to look at people's responses. What did they respond? How did they respond when he was doing these things? When he was teaching, when he was doing a miracle, when he claimed to be God, when people encountered who Jesus was, and different people responded differently. And we're going to look at some of those. So, first I want to look at some of the examples of Jesus claiming to be God. And we're going to look at John chapter 8. I've heard people say, well, Jesus never really said that he was God. And that's ridiculous. And we're going to look at some examples just to lay that out a little bit. In John 8, he said, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, we may not get the context because we're not Jewish. If you were an Israelite, if you were Jewish, if you were an Orthodox Jewish person, you would understand this. This is a reference to Moses, when Moses was taking the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses, I don't know if you remember, he had at least seven excuses. I'm no good. I'm not a good talker. What if they question me? What if they say, who sent you? He's asking God. He says, God, I don't want to do this. I'm no good at this. What should I say? This is a reference to Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. What Jesus is saying is, you know the guy talking to Moses thousands of years ago? That was me. I am. I'm the same person. I'm eternal. I was there, I'm here now, and I will live forever. He's saying, I am. I was at the beginning, I was at the creation, I am God. Very clear. That's what he was saying. I'll give you another example. This is in John chapter 10. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Look at this next verse. I and the Father are one. Now, we have a more casual speaking term. If you're an Israelite, use very clear what you meant. I am perfectly united with God. With God. You know, someone sent me a video a little bit ago and said, hey, what do you think of this video? And this guy looked in the Bible, and he actually looked at this verse, and he said, in the video, he says, you know what this means? It means that we're all God. Everybody's God. God is everywhere. We're God. And this is a very common philosophy today. I looked at that and I go, that's wrong. That is crazy. Anyone in context would know that that's not right. But today, is God real? Maybe, maybe not. It's a very common philosophy today that is laid out in our world. And people take verses out of the Bible out of context. I want to look at the context here. Did the people here understand what Jesus Christ was saying? This is verse 30. I and the Father are one. Look at what happened right after this. Again, his Jewish opponents. Again, this isn't the first time. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones and said to, and Jesus said to them, so think about this. Practically, you say something, people start bending down to pick up rocks. This is an obvious thing when they start doing this. Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works. And he had. They have seen miracles. They've seen moral teaching they had never heard of. People are following him. He's fed thousands of people. I've shown you many good works from the Father. From which do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. It was crystal clear. This is what they were saying. Jesus didn't disagree with them. He didn't say, oh, no, I didn't mean that. You, a mere man, claim to be God. They understood what he was saying. So Jesus very clearly said that. So, and there are many more examples in Luke and in the Gospel of Mark. So now I want to look at aspects of healing. Jesus healed people. Really, everywhere he went. Not every time. He really didn't have a healing ministry, but when someone approached him, he never turned anyone away that I saw. Now, we know of John the Baptist. And we're going to look at an example a little later. John the Baptist had a question. John had been imprisoned, and he sent his disciples to go talk to Jesus. And he says, oh, are you the Messiah? He asks this. Are you the Messiah? Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? This is a good question. Are you him? Or is there someone, are you like me, a prophet? Is there someone coming after you? This is Jesus' response. Go back and report to John what you hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. His healing, what he did, what he said, all of these events are evidence that he's the Son of God. So this is why we don't have healing like this anymore. If the healing was like this, someone would walk into a hospital, everyone would walk out. Okay. And the doctors would be going, we have nothing to do. Nothing to do. When he healed someone, it was complete. I think God still heals people, but it's an exception. It's unusual. It's a miracle. God still does it. Sometimes he uses doctors. I think healing happens. He uses all types of things, but when someone asks Jesus for healing, I don't see any time that he turned them away or turned them down when they approached him in faith. That was unique to him because he's life. He's God. It's a power of God in him. When life touches your life, you become fully alive. So the miracle of healing was evidence. That's what he's telling John. It's evidence that he is God. One of the most powerful examples, and as Christians we know this and we believe this, is the empty tomb, is that he rose from the dead. How do you know Jesus was here? How do we know he rose from the dead? The Pharisees, if you read the account in the scripture, the Pharisees were working very hard to put down this religious uprising. All these people following Christ. And he was very critical of the Jewish leaders. He says, you're all whitewashed tombs. You're empty. You're leading the people away from God. They were trying to keep him in the grave to stop this. Here's what happened. There was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb. The stone rolled back the stone and said, his appearance was like lightning. This was the angel, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. Something happened here. Became like dead men. They fell to the ground. They were so afraid, they became like dead men. And the tomb was empty. They never found his body because it wasn't there. It wasn't there. So, things that happen, rising from the dead, all these miracles. So, we have these occurrences happening. I want to move to look at what happens when people encounter the truth about Jesus Christ. And so, we'll look at a couple of these. I picked out four different examples. If you encounter the truth of Jesus Christ, you can be offended. The Pharisees were offended. It wasn't what they wanted in a Savior or in a God, and they were offended. You can be skeptical. Sometimes I'm skeptical. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, they call him, was skeptical. They said, Jesus rose from the dead. He goes, yeah, right, not till I see him. Not till I put my hand in his side. People are skeptical. Some people were involved but didn't have a lot of faith. They were with Jesus. They were following him, and we're going to look at an example of that. And then some people were active and growing in their faith. We're going to look at those four. So I want to look at option one, to be offended. To be offended. So Jesus got arrested and he was being questioned by the high priest. These people are the ones who put Jesus to death. Their agenda was not to find out the truth and find out who he was, but they're asking the questions. Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? He's pressing him for answers. And this time, Jesus asked him. He said, are you the Son of the Living God? Are you the Blessed One? I am. What a thing. What an opportunity these men had. Are you the Messiah? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And then he said, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, coming on the clouds of heaven. He said, one day this will happen. You will see me come back in glory. The Pharisees, the high priest, tore their clothes, decided to put him to death after this. What more proof do we need? They were upset. It was not the God they wanted. Some people will respond this way. It's an option. We can't control that. So it's possible to be offended at what God says and who he is. Option two, be skeptical. This is in John 20. This is Thomas. Thomas was skeptical. Everyone was saying, Jesus has risen from the dead. He's risen from the dead. And he said, not till I see him for myself. Not till I put my hand in his side. Not till I see it for myself. Not till I touch him to see that he's risen will I believe this. I know sometimes I'm skeptical of things, and I appreciate that God is patient with me. And Jesus, knowing this, came to Thomas so he could learn. And this is what Thomas said. When he did this and put his hand in his side, Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. He saw for himself, and then he believed, my Lord and my God. This is who you are. This is who you are. Interestingly, Jesus didn't say, oh, that's the wrong name, I'm not God. He didn't disagree with Thomas. He commended him. Because you have seen and believed. Blessed are those who have seen and not believed. Jesus agreed with him, yes, this is who I am. This is who you are. We have not seen Christ like Thomas did. Thomas had to see him. We trust in Christ. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's you. That's me. That's everyone in the world today in our time. We have not seen him. We will see him one day. So some people are skeptical. Sometimes we're skeptical. God will come to you and help you move forward. You can be of little faith. Sometimes I think about this. There are some things we've learned in our experience. We have great faith in some areas of our life. In some areas of our life, sometimes we're skeptical. Moses was like this. When Moses started out and God told him what to do, he said, God, I can't do that. Moses became very confident in who God was, but he started this way. This verse is when the disciples were in the boat with Jesus. Now, the disciples knew Jesus had taught what was going to happen. He had to give his life a ransom for many. He was in the boat. They were in the boat with Jesus, and this storm came up. And they became very afraid that they were going to die. The storm is going to sink our boat. I don't know if you've... I grew up fairly near the ocean, and we used to go on the water. The ocean, there's something very majestic about the water. I love the water. And when it's calm and peaceful and sunny, it's very serene and relaxing. But when the ocean is raging and there's a storm and there's moderate seas, I understand this. It is very powerful. It's very intimidating. I went on our parents took us on, my family on a cruise a little bit ago, and we're on a boat, a ship that's 1,000 feet long, and we're in what they call moderate seas, which means the waves are 5 to 7 feet high, and the ship is moving, and I'm thinking, the whole ship, this 1,000-foot-long ship, the waves are like this high, 5 to 7 feet. 1,000-foot-long ship is going up and down, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really not that big. Now, being a little boat in moderate seas, I think could be intimidating. I understand this. They woke Jesus up and said, we're going to die here. We're going to die in this boat. Don't you care about us? We're going to die here. Jesus woke up and looked at them and he goes, you of little faith, what are you so afraid of? They didn't believe what he said. He had said, these things have to happen. What are you afraid of? We're not going to die here. And then he stretched his hands out. Now think about this. A raging storm, he stretched his hand out and it became eerily calm. The wind and the... Now, they had seen other things. The wind and the waves. The wind and the waves had stopped. Then they were afraid. They go, even... We saw other things. We've seen him feed people. We've seen, but now, even the wind and the waves obey this man. Who is he? Even the weather, he has authority over that. Who is this man? He's the Son of God. They got to see something they had never seen before. So you can have an opportunity to grow in faith. I know there are things I'm little in faith. There are some things I'm confident in, and there are some things I'm not. Last example I want to look at. Option 4 is to be growing in your faith. This is an example of someone who was healed in Matthew 8. This was a leper. Actually, I want to read this. This is in Matthew 8, beginning of chapter 8. Large crowds followed Jesus. He came down to the mountainside. There's a lot of people there. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. leprosy is now called Hansen's disease, but it was incurable in this day. As a matter of fact, it was spread by contact, and you had to announce that you had leprosy, that no one would come near you. You had to call out, "Unclean, I'm unclean." You had to call out before you that everyone could avoid you because they didn't want the disease spread. "I'm unclean." That's what they had to do. That was what the law said. He said, "Lord, if you are willing," this man knew that Jesus Christ was different. And he went to him, "I know you can help me. Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." No one had probably touched this man in years because that's how the disease could be spread. Jesus reached out with his hand and touched the man. He says, "I am willing. I am willing. Be clean." There was a bunch of people here. This is the one person who went to him. Trust, had faith. This man is who he says he is. I am going to go to him personally. This is a man of faith. I am going to go to him. I need this. I want this. I desire him to make me clean. Are you willing? Yes, I am willing. That's one of the things Mike is going to talk about next week, is that Christ becomes personal when you go to him in faith. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Look, this is struck. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone." To me, that's very interesting. Don't tell anyone. He wasn't about establishing a healing ministry. I'm going to heal everyone. I want all the people who need physical healing to come to me. No. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. What a unique thing for this man. Jesus Christ did this for me, and it's between us and him. Us and me. He did this for me. Don't tell anyone. Why? This is just my opinion. If Jesus had other things he had to do, and if it becomes too apparent too soon on who he is, he can't accomplish that he's the Son of God, that it killed him before. It's my opinion of why he said that. Don't tell anyone. It's between you and me. I did this for you. That's okay. How that man must have felt. Jesus Christ did this for me. He is God for me, of my life. He helps me. Go to him in faith. So, encountering Jesus as God. Encountering Jesus as God. Here are the different responses we've seen in the Gospels. You can be offended. Sometimes people are. Not the God I wanted. We can be skeptical like Thomas, and sometimes we are. We can be involved but not have a lot of faith and be there. Now we can be like the leper who has needs. I need some help. Go to God. I think you can move from the top of the list down a little bit. Be a person of faith. That's what God, if we're going to encounter Christ as God, as a personal God who cares about us, that's what it means as a Christian. He is a personal God who can meet my needs. If I need something, I can go to him. I'd encourage all of us to do that this week. I can go to him because he is the one who takes care of us and raises people from the dead and brings healing. Why don't we pray, and we'll have the music team come up. God, thank you. Jesus Christ, thank you that you are God. Jesus Christ, thank you. You came for us, then we can respond to you in faith. In your Son's name.